There is a poem, and I'm forgetting the poet's name, but the poem is called The Carpenter's Hole in the Floor. One of my favorite poems, because what the poem tells you is the experience of a man who is at home in the evening, and for some reason, the carpenter has had to drill a hole in the middle of his living room, and he's not finished covering it up because he had to access the underneath of the house and was not able to go from the outside. So there's this big hole in the middle of the living room covered over with paper and probably things to make sure people don't fall into it. But the man who lives there alone decides to look inside the hole. And he takes a flashlight and he kneels down and he's looking inside the hole. And it's nighttime, his living room is heated and it's, you know, the lights are on, TV, everything is okay. And he's enjoying an evening at home. And when he looks underneath the room, he begins to have an insight into how naive he is. Naive because he's enjoying his living room at night in a cozy way. But the naivete comes from the fact that he had forgotten or not been conscious of how much it took from all kinds of different parts of the world and of his city, how many connections it took for his room to be what he considered normal. So he sees the electrical connections that go out into the street. He sees the gas lines. He sees the telephone line. He sees the satellite connections. He sees the water pipes for the cold and the hot. He sees the heating and air conditioning ducts. And he sees all of these connections that make his room normal. And all of a sudden, when he pulls his head out and his flashlight out, he looks around the room and he realizes the room that he considers normal is actually only normal because it is connected to an electrical power plant some other place, to signals that are coming from outer space, from his cable. He got to the phone lines which connect to the rest of the world, his DSL lines which connect to other computers. And he realizes that this is not just a little cozy little room. This is actually an experience of that's been generated, if you will. It's been generated for him. It's actually a kind of comfortable alternative reality. Because if you cut all those connections, that reality which he considers normal would stop to exist. No lights, no heat, no nothing, no telephone. And he begins to understand that this thing that is just normal isn't, that it's really a reality that has been created by the connections that are made to his room. The poem is a very interesting poem. It's not long, and I'm sure I'll think of the author. It's an American author. He was poet laureate for the United States, but I'm blanking out. But it's a poem that I always think about when we especially have a change of seasons. Not seasons because there are different kinds of seasons. Like, for example, well, here in Houston, we don't experience too many different seasons. But you can already tell it's not summer. Okay? We're all wearing coats, and it's getting cold, and some of the leaves are dropping. And so we're getting into autumn, approaching winter, and so far it's experienced here. Things are, in nature, changing. They are changing, and it does happen every year. And we adapt. But that's not the only place or the only seasons that we experience. Today, you are here in church experiencing a change of seasons. Not nature seasons, but you're experiencing church seasons. Last Sunday, we finished Ordinary Time, or the season of the ordinary. And we wear, in that season, which communicates the normal Christian life, the color is green, for the green of nature and the green of summer. But as soon as that season of ordinary time ends, we begin, actually we begin a new church year. Because you see, not only does the church have its own seasons, the church has its own year. And the year for the church does not begin January 1. That's the chronological year that begins on that date. The year for the church begins this morning. It begins when we count, we look at the day of Christmas, and then from the day of Christmas, you count 4 Sundays back. And the 4 Sundays back will tell you the first Sunday of Advent, depending on the day that Christmas falls of the week. And so we have 4 Sundays of Advent. And what I'd like to do today is begin our observance of Advent by reviewing what's happening, because all around you, in church and also out of church, things have changed and they are communicating something to you. But let's start where we are as to what's happening and what is the communication that is we are attempting to do. Now, first of all, we all know that communication doesn't always happen just with words. If you dress somebody up, for example, in jeans and a sweatshirt, and then take that same person and dress them up in a suit and tie, the person, without being conscious of it, will act differently from being just the way that they are dressed. Because the way that they are dressed unconsciously says something to them. If a young lady is wearing jeans and then you put her in a beautiful evening gown, she's not going to act the same way. If you go into a room that is decorated with silver and candlelight and beautiful dishes and low lighting, and you're dressed in a beautiful evening gown, It's not going to be the same as if you walk into the same room and you're in jeans, a sweatshirt, pizza, and heavy metal is playing. Right? It's different. Now, you're the same person, but what's happening? The environment around you and the way you are dressed are speaking to you. And you know what they're saying. You know that the behavior that is required, given the symbols and the colors and all the things that are here, the behavior that is present, that is required from you, is different each circumstance. The environment is speaking to you. Now, take that sense of being spoken to by the ambiance, and let's begin to look at the beginning of Advent today. Now, up until last week, you saw us wearing green. When you came in today, the church was decorated differently. It's telling you something has changed. If you notice, by the most obvious things, there are four colored banners that are not normally there. The three behind the cross that are kind of golden, those are there all the time. But if you look at the two at each end, you have three purple and one pink. And then the priest is wearing purple. And then if you look behind the altar has three purple candles and one rose or pink candle. Now notice, not all of them are lit. The only one that is lit is the first purple one. That is also intentional. We didn't just forget to light the rest of them. The reason is the first one, if you notice, the screen too. The screen has the same, but this one has five candles. A white one in the center, a pink one to its right, and three purple ones. But only one purple one is lit. What's the message? The message is, of course, that we are in the first Sunday of the four Sundays of the season of Advent. And why the color? What does the color purple communicate that is different from the color green? The color green communicates a certain, you know, if you think of, if somebody were to ask you, like, word association, green, what do you think of? Grass, trees, summer. When the color gets darker, what happens to the mood of something when the color gets darker? Like, for example, if you were to walk into a church and everyone is dressed in black, what's the mood telling you? It's a funeral, right? The darker the color, the more intense. And when we talk black, especially everything black, what they're saying to you is the most intense kind of experience or feeling is the experience of darkness and of mourning, of loss. Now, obviously, I'm not in black, but the color purple is still, would you say it's a happy color? I wouldn't. It's not a happy color. It's a very rich color. A color that says something about depth. That says something about we're not playing around. This is not a happy-go-lucky color. And that is exactly what the church is trying to establish. You see, the Catholic Church is getting ready these 4 Sundays before Christmas are basically preparation Sundays. They are preparation Sundays. And so on Christmas, there's going to be a huge celebration. Now, what are we celebrating? Well, of course, the birth of God made human in Jesus Christ. We're not celebrating Santa Claus. We're not celebrating your brand new toaster. Okay? We're not celebrating any of the things that the reindeer or snowmen or, oh, the weather outside is frightful. No. It may be frightful, but that's not what we're dealing with here. What we're dealing with here is, oh my God, God has become human. Oh my God, God has become human. Can you imagine that? God has become human? Oh my God. That is, all of a sudden you're going, huh? Now most of us either blow it off or, yeah, we're so used to it. Oh, yeah, Jesus is God. Yeah. But, oh, my God. Can you imagine that? If it really sunk into you? And so what we're doing this Sunday is we're starting to say, okay, we're going to celebrate that. That's what the white candle there in the middle stands for. Okay? The white candle. But we're not going to get there until we prepare. Because we're supposed to prepare that Jesus is coming again. And we're spending 4 weeks preparing for the fact that Jesus is coming again. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I think it's very interesting. The first 2 weeks of Advent, which is this Sunday and next Sunday, the readings that we get from the church for the Sunday are all about the coming of Jesus. But the question is, which coming? Are we talking about the coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago? Or are we talking about the fact that on the creed every Sunday you say, and he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. So Jesus came 2,000 years ago in Christmas. We celebrate Christmas, but he will come again in glory at the end of time. And so the very first 2 Sundays of Advent are telling you we are a people that is waiting for Jesus to return. The very first Sunday of the church year, what are the readings focused on? That we are a people who is waiting for Jesus to return at the end of time. That's the main thing. And so the first 2 Sundays do that. The third Sunday, things change. And you know what color we go to? Pink. The rose color. And the reason we go is because there has been a change. Now our focus is not that he will come again at the end of time, but now our focus is remembering that he came in Christmas Day when he was born. And we're preparing now, not for the coming of Jesus at the end of time, but to remember that he came on Christmas Day. So you have 2 parts of Advent. And so you will go to the pink and then one more purple. And then on Christmas Day, you light the white one. And that is the conclusion of Advent. So notice the meaning of Advent. See, time has different meanings. And you've got to decide whether you're going to live according to the meaning or not. The human being is the only animal that can choose to live according to a particular meaning. For example, when you have your birthday, right? Your birthday. Your birthday is a day like any other day. The sun and the moon don't do anything different. Everything is the same. Now, what would happen? Well, how would you feel if on your birthday, which is a day like anybody else, every other day, everybody acted as if it was any other day and no one made you feel at all special? How would you feel? You'd feel bad. Why? It's just a day like any other day. No, it isn't. Because that day has meaning, and the meaning of that day is yours. That's your day. People are supposed to be walking around to you and saying how glad they are that you were born. Why do you think it's happy? What are we celebrating? Birthday. You know what you're saying is, we are so happy that you came into this world. Yay! And that makes you feel good. Because nobody is celebrating anything you did. Being born is not an achievement. You were being born, you didn't, hey, I won, I was born. No, being born is not an achievement. You are being celebrated for nothing. Nothing. Except the fact that you popped out. And people are going, yay, he popped out. Okay, but notice it has meaning, right? It has meaning. Now, what that tells you, it's the same thing with wedding anniversaries. Imagine a woman or a husband who the other partner forgets totally their wedding anniversary. Hurts. It hurts. Because days and time has meaning. This is the season of Advent. The church is telling you it has meaning. And every time you come to church, you are surrounded by things that will tell you things are getting different. It has meaning. We are waiting. Now, I'm going to start bringing this homily on its descent. I always think of homilies as if they were airplane trips. You know, I have had you at cruising altitude, okay? And you know how the pilot comes on and he says, ladies and gentlemen, we are beginning our descent, right? Well, we are beginning our descent in this homily. But fear not, our descent could last another 30 minutes. No, it won't. It won't. I promise it won't. All right? We're beginning our descent. So what is the descent? I've talked to you all about all the meaning in the church. But I want you to compare it. I want you to compare it to the meaning of another place that you go worship at. The mall. Oh, you are surprised when I said worship? Don't be. Don't be. Remember where worship comes from. Worth. You spend a lot of worth at that place. You worship at the mall. Okay? When you walk into a mall, especially around Christmas, what's the mall trying to tell you? What's the mall trying to tell you during Christmas? The other day I walked into the Galleria. Holy God! You should, I mean, the assault on your senses is amazing. Okay? There's huge trees. The ice skating rink is covered with a tree, huge tree with light. There's decorations everywhere. And you're walking around and there's Christmas music already playing and all kinds of stuff to buy. It's an experience. And you know why you kind of feel jolly? Because they're playing the right kind of music. There's no purple there. Right? There's gold and glitter and what? And everybody is, you know. And what's happening? They're doing the same thing. Because it's a human thing. They're trying to make you feel jolly and generous. Right? So, here we go with Advent. You're about to have two very distinct experiences. Now we're coming in for a landing, okay? Coming in for a landing. What's the meaning of the next 4 weeks? All I'm telling you is you're going to have two sets of meaning that are very different from each other. Do they have to be exclusive of each other? No. But if you don't make it a point to enter into especially the church meaning, the mall meaning will overshadow and conquer and virtually obliterate, that means tear apart. It will obliterate whatever signs there are of the coming of Jesus. And on the day of Christmas, you will celebrate your new toaster or your new video game or your new cell phone or your new iPad or whatever it is that you're going to get. And you will have totally forgotten the meaning of Christmas because you bought in to the mall, the spirituality of the mall. So what I'm asking you to do is this, and the wheels are touching down now. I'm just asking you to keep an eye on the purple. Keep an eye on the purple. And remember, the purple is not a downer. The purple is a color that is supposed to make you think. It's supposed to make you ponder deeper than just the mall, the glitter. I think that's what I'm going to call this homily. The purple and the glitter. Those are the two things that are competing for your attention. The purple and the glitter. The purple, because it's telling you, think so that you understand why on Christmas Day we are merry. Why are we merry on Christmas? Think. And the merry is the glitter. But the glitter is not about the gifts. And so for the next 4 weeks, take it seriously. Time has meaning, and we have begun the season of Advent. Please stand.